to share with you a scripture today, perhaps one of the greatest scriptures that you and I will read in our life, even though it's a simple one, it's a powerful one. This passage was actually Jesus giving us an invitation. Come unto me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. These are the words of Jesus. I want to speak on the subject, God's way or no way at all. God's way or no way at all. You may be seated as we go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you again for this awesome privilege that we have of worship this time, that we can gather together as children of the living God to honor your name and serve you and gain strength as we hear your word. And as much as food nourishes our natural bodies, your word nourishes our spirit, our mind, and our soul. So we thank you for your word. We ask that you'd speak to our hearts. And Lord, may the time we spend together hearing you, may it indeed be time well spent, and we'll be changed through your mighty power. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. This is a great invitation that Jesus gave, not only for us to believe, but for us to live our lives burden-free. Burden-free. Now, if you can imagine living your life without burdens, living your life without carrying around the weight of cares, the issues and the things that we all face in life, being able to go through life with the freedom that only God can give, what a powerful way to live your life. What if you had no cares? Not to say that you will not have problems. Jesus is not saying, trust me and you will not have problems. What he's saying is, if you trust me, you will not have burdens. You will not have those things to weigh you down, because you will be indeed giving your life over to what God can do in you. So that's the question that we have before us this morning. Is it God's way, or do we choose our own way? Shall we take Jesus at his word? Shall we respond to his invitation to come to him? All who labor and are heavy laden, let me ask you a question as we begin this message. How many of you have been trying to do the very best you can and find out the very best you can is just not good enough? How many of you that have tried to do the best you can and found out that the best is not good enough, how many of you have become burdened by that? And the thoughts have gone through your mind, what am I doing wrong? You're not doing anything wrong. You are living. No one told you that this world is a friendly environment. But what Jesus does say to us in giving us this invitation, I'll tell you where you can come. You can come to me, and I will give you rest, or in the Hebrew, shalom. I will give you peace of mind, peace in your spirit, for you to know that God is in control. What a powerful, powerful statement. And then he says, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. What an invitation. What an invitation. And the question is, why is God asking me? And in the case of those who were listening to him, Matthew's gospel is written to the Jewish person, to the Jewish believer, and to that person who grew up under the law, it's written to them. Why is he giving them this invitation? This is the invitation of the Messiah, who is God in the flesh, revealing himself to the world. Here is Jesus saying, you've tried everything else. And all it's done for you is put burdens on your shoulders, responsibilities in your way. Life is just that way. It will place those things on you, and then it will compound it with the fact that you're weak. All right? You're weak. You want to do, but then you find that every time you want to do, it seems like you can't do. Anybody been there? So why is God giving this invitation? He's giving it to the Jew who grew up under the law, to that person who says, I want to do what's right. But then they found that even the weight of obeying the commandments of God, that was too much for them. That was too much. He's writing that, and he's telling them, come to me, all you who are laboring and who are heavy burden in life, come to me and I will give you rest. Because God knows that you cannot live your life burdened down, trying to carry the weight of the world on your shoulders. And if you don't believe that things are weighty and that life can become a burden, let sickness come upon you. Or you don't have to go that far. Let bills come upon you. Some of our graduates are getting ready to graduate into the reality that now you got to pay your own bills. Wow. You've got to go for yourself, and you've got to get out there and make a living for yourself. And it becomes weighty. It becomes a burden to you. But here's Jesus saying, I'm not going to make it easier, but I'm going to make it possible. Through my strength, through my ability, I'm going to help you live this life God's way. Sounds like a good invitation, doesn't it? And let me tell you what we do. We come in and we have these little, relationships that we defined, okay? One of them is the ceremonial relationship. Okay, God, I'll meet you on Sunday. For the Jew, I'll meet you on the Sabbath. And I'll talk with you on the Sabbath. I'll get back to you. Okay, see you later. And then we go out and we live our life. That's not what Jesus is saying. He's talking about a total commitment here. He's saying, I will relieve every burden that's in your life, not just the ceremonial one. See, a lot of us, we assume that if I go to church and if I sing right, if I pray right, if I look like I'm living right, then life is going to be good. How many of y'all tried that trick? It didn't work, did it? He's not calling us into a ceremonial relationship, nor is he calling us into the relationship. Well, just do the best you can. You know, just do what you can. Now, how many of you all have called bill collectors on the phone and told them, I'm doing the best I can? Did they buy it? And their thing was, if the payment is not in here by a certain date, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to take further action. And yet Jesus invites us to a relationship with him, not do the best you can, not ceremonial. And then the last one I wrote down, not this distant relationship. Okay, God, I want you in my life, but I'm not ready for all that you have right now. So you stay over there. I'll stay right here. If I need you, I'll call you. All of us, we tried these things and we found out that rather than being free, we were taking on burdens that were not intended for us to carry. And in carrying those burdens, we've fallen under the weight of them. If you look at the number of people today in this world that we're living in right now who are fearful, who have failed, and those who are saying to themselves, you know what, life is just not worth living. Hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. You've got burdens that you were not supposed to carry. You've got weights that you were not supposed to put on your shoulders. And here's Jesus speaking as the Lord of glory saying, come to me, all. Come to me, everyone who labors. And all of us have been there. all who are burdened down, come to me and first thing, I'll give you rest. Second thing, take my yoke upon you and learn my way. Isn't that what we're talking about? God's way? Oh, no, this is my life. Who told you this is your life? Who said that? Who lied to you and told you this is my life? No, you got the life, but you got it as a gift. And guess what? The one who gave you that life, guess what he can do at any time? He can snatch it back. What would happen if God snatched our next breath and said, okay, try to live now? He has the capacity to do that. But rather than grabbing us by the throat and saying to us, obey me or else, God doesn't do that. He says, come. Everyone who is weary, everyone who is burdened down, all who are filled with care, come to me. Now imagine in your mind multitudes of people who are around Jesus and they're listening to him, just like you're listening this morning. And you're saying to yourself, man, this message has got me. It had me as well. Because there are a lot of times I want to do things my way, my time, and I want to enjoy the benefits. But by the time I get to the benefits, I'm so burdened down, I don't even care whether it's God. I just want to get the whole thing over with, right? But Jesus said, that's not the way you're to live a life that is ordained and orchestrated by God. Anybody with me? All right, so how do we get into this? How do we start looking at what God has in mind? He wants us to live based on the fact that we're the children of God. As many as received him, John 1:12, as many as received him, to them gave he power. And I don't want you to look at that power like, I got muscles now. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about authority and ability. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God. Now, I don't deserve that right. You don't deserve that right. You messed up too much. Remember yesterday? Remember last week, last year? And remember where you are now? You don't deserve that right. What gives you that right? This invitation. Jesus is saying, I'm giving you that right. I'm not measuring how much you messed up. I know you messed up because you were doing it your way. I'm giving you this opportunity, this time now, and all you got to do is believe. And if you believe, man, what I can do in your life. This is this powerful God speaking to us and saying to us, if you want it, here it is. Now, imagine Jesus bringing the entire kingdom of God close to you and me, to the Jews of that day, to the people who were listening to him. He's bringing the kingdom of God into your realm. All right, can you imagine that? Let me put it in perspective. Let's say, for instance, some rich person, okay? Yeah, I know it ain't you, it ain't me, but some rich person showed up and he's got suitcases of money. I'm talking about he's got the Brinks truck out back. You know, he's got security and he's saying, okay, whatever you need as far as money goes, I got it. All you got to do, team up with me. You say, yeah. Okay, this is all right. You know, this is all right. But that's just money, and money can't buy you everything. As a matter of fact, I heard a quote the other day, since when does life have to be defined in terms of money? Who defined life that way? Who says if you got money, you got everything? I know a lot of people that died having a lot of money and couldn't prevent their death. Do I have a witness on that? So you can't look at those things and think that your life is complete as soon as I get this. As soon as I get into the right relationship, I'm going to be happy. As soon as I get the right job, I'm going to be happy. As soon as I get my degree, oh man, it's on then. I'm going to be happy. I don't know who told you that. I really don't know where you got it from. But as Rocky told Bullwinkle, that trick never works. Never have, never will. We've got to come to Jesus and take this invitation seriously. Here's what we try to do. We try to go through life and say, okay, I'm going to put everything in perfect form. I'm going to get everything perfect. You've been around those people. I want to get everything perfect. And number one, I ain't perfect. Now, I'm one of those nitpicky people. If a piece of paper is on the floor, guess what? That needs to be in the trash can. If the carts are out of order at Walmart, guess what? They need to go back into the rack. So, and many days I spent my time trying to straighten up stuff that I didn't mess up. And I'm afraid many of you perfectionists are just like me in many ways. We want to be perfect. We want to be complete. But as Voltaire said, sometimes perfection can become the enemy of good. What do I mean by that? In other words, when we're trying to be perfect and here's God giving us the good life, God says, I know you're not perfect. I know you messed up. And I know that even after believing in me, you're still going to come short. But I want you on my team. I don't know for a person who was usually picked last on the basketball team. I can tell you anybody who picked me was usually a last resort. But here's Jesus saying, I'm inviting you to be on my team. So what if you can't score that well? You're with me now. You're with me now. You're on my side now. And I'm going to take you through life and let you see life like you've never seen it before. This is Jesus. This is Jesus speaking to us. So here's some life lessons. One is that we got to come and find that rest. Toiling over things. Who said you have to work for a living? You work because it's your gift. You work because God gave you strength. You work because you enjoy living so much that you want to do something. Isn't it interesting that before God gave Adam a relationship, he gave him a job? Before he brought Eve onto the scene, God said, Adam, you need to use your gifts. And you will never discover the gifts that God has given you until you surrender to Jesus Christ, until you respond to his invitation. You're going to spend all your time using your abilities for vanity. For vanity. Jesus says, come to me and you will find rest. There's a lesson in that. There's a lot of people go to bed, can't sleep, tossing and turning. Buy a new mattress. Okay, maybe it's the mattress. Tossing and turning. That don't work. Let me buy a new house. Tossing and turning on a brand new house. That doesn't work. Let me buy something else. And I'm going to find rest. Until you get the rest in your soul, you're not going to find it. But when you get the rest in your soul, you can sleep on a rock. And everything is good. Amen? Amen. Lazarus found, the Bible, Lazarus, he found peace. He found rest in God. He didn't have a dime. Did not have a dime, spent his life as a beggar. And yet he found rest because he found it in God. Where are you finding rest? Where are you finding that peace and that joy? So who should respond? We mentioned the Jews. Brought up in the law, trained to obey God. But even Peter said in Acts 15, we can't keep this. Our fathers didn't do it, and neither can we. And why are we going to put a yoke or a burden on the new disciples who are Gentiles? Why are we going to put a burden on them with something that we can't even do ourselves? I love it when we bring people into church and we want to give them a list of do's and don'ts. You do this, you don't do that. You know what they really need? Jesus. If you get Jesus, you're going to love doing what's right. And though it's a learning process, you're willing to admit, hey, I'm learning. I want to know more because you found freedom, not a burden in Jesus Christ. So who needs it? The Gentiles. Gentiles. That's us, folks. Was us. Used to be us. It's the ungodly. And there are a lot of people, and that's our former life without God, without Christ. We did it our way. We did what we wanted to do. At least the Jew had the law. We didn't have that. But now guess what? Since we've responded to that invitation, he draws us into this thing and said, now I'm going to set you free. You're going to be a joint heir with the Jews. Everything that they've got, you're going to have, because we are complete in Christ. He brings us the entire kingdom of God. So Jesus says, it's yours now. You can enjoy this. This is life. This is living. And I want to tell you something. I don't know. I would be the first one to tell you I do not know everything about God. But what I do know, it sure is good. And some of you are the same way. What you do know, it sure is good. It is wonderful to have this walk. And not just to say, well, I'm going to get saved. There are a lot of people look at their relationship with God as salvation. I'm going to get my ticket. I'm going to get my ticket to heaven. Well, what you going to do between now and your ticket time? That's what we're talking about. We're calling you into this life in Christ, the living in Christ, abiding in him. Jesus said, guess what? Now, even before you get to heaven, if you show or if you invite me in, and show that you want me in your life, I'm going to bring my Father and we're going to make our abode with you. In other words, we're going to live in your house. And then at the end of your house, you're going to live in my house. That's a pretty good deal, isn't it? He invites us into this. Who needs it? The Jews, the Gentiles, but then the saints. Saints need it. We used to call them saints. Now we call them ain'ts. They dropped the S. Because the ain'ts will tell you, we ain't going to do that. And we ain't going to go there. We ain't going to help them. The ain'ts. And then the ain'ts sometimes are the can'ts. We can't do that. We can't go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And Jesus said, come to me. I'll show you how it's done. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. We have a powerful invitation in Jesus. And we got to respond to it. We got to respond in a way that's real, in a way that is personal. Interesting, I read this poem several years ago by Gwendolyn Brooks. We real cool, you know. And at the time, I was a young person. And it struck my interest, but it didn't say what I wanted it to say. It says, we real cool. We left school. We lurk late. We strike straight. We sing sin. We thin gin. We jazz June. We die soon. If you take this attitude in life, you know what? I'm just going to eat, drink, and be merry. I'm just going to live it up for today, my way. All right, be Frank Sinatra, my way. I'm going to do it the way that I want to, when I want to. And I know a lot of young people are saying, you know what? I'm 3 times 7. Good, you can multiply, because you're getting ready to find out the rest of the multiplication table. You're getting ready, as our old folks say, you're fitting to find out what's down the road here. Life is not about live it up. Grab for all the gusto you can. Because at the end of it, you still got to answer to God. One of the last statements that we're going to make in life is, what did I do with my life? Where did it go? Who did I live for? We got to answer that question. And so today, Jesus is sending out this invitation to anyone who will walk with him, and all he wants is just this 24 hours. That's all he wants. He doesn't want tomorrow. Now, he'll take your yesterday, and he'll wash that under his blood. All he wants is the next few hours of your life. Then, of course, he's going to want the next day, but then today you're going to find out that he's so good and that he's so great. Why would I not give him the next day and the next day and the day after? It's either God's way or really no way at all. You jazz June. You strike straight. We die soon. And many people would say, too soon. I'm almost out of time, but I feel that we need to be challenging this thing. We need to really think about, is God's way for me? And I just want you to think about it, because even us who are saying that we're saints, we got our limitations. We got our way of doing things. We got our religious order, right? We have our time to pray, our time to sing, our time to do whatever, and we make a choice every day. What I'm saying is, be totally committed to him, because guess what? He was totally committed and is totally committed to you and me. God's way. What does that involve? Meeting God. Not some concept of God. Not some cosmic reality. We're talking about a real God who numbered the very hairs on your head. I can remember when my Uncle Esau would cut my hair. That's when they had these little clippers that you work with your hand. That Forty got the bro White, know what I'm talking about. The ones, and if you weren't careful, you'd pick holes in somebody's head. All right? And instead of you having a nice haircut, it would look a mess. And that's exactly what Uncle Esau did. But guess who would come behind Uncle Esau and straighten out what Uncle Esau had messed up? My daddy. He said, come here, boy. And I remember the first time daddy got a pair of power clippers. Said, we're going to get it all even. Now, sometimes the head was bald, but at least it looked uniform. Amen? A lot of us have lived that Uncle Esau life where other stuff would come in claiming to be God and would let us down. Been there. Trusting people who came into our life, here I come to save the day, and the only thing they did was make it a bad day. But here's God saying, come meet with me. Then we find rest. What is rest? It means to abide in something. The Hebrew people, the Israelite people would celebrate what they call the Sabbath. And so you're to do no kinds of work on the Sabbath except for the priest and leading the worship. You're to do no kind of work. Don't you know that we spend all of our time working, trying to do this, trying to do that? And here's God saying, you need some rest. You need to take a break. Players out on the football field, they'll give this sign. Time out. That meant something didn't go right. The coach sees it. God sees things in your life not going the way that it should be, or he sees the danger that's ahead, and he said, wait a minute, time out. Come over here. Let's get some rest. Take a breather. Get some spiritual Gatorade. Refocus. Don't look at things your way. Let's go with the game plan. Sunday mornings when we gather together for worship, that's really a time of Sabbath for us. Putting things in the right light. Amen? But not only is it a time to meet God and find rest, it's a time to enter divine service. It's very easy to read this invitation. It said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It will be easy for us to say, well, I ain't going to do nothing. No. He said, take my yoke upon you. Now, for those of you that have never been in the country, let me give you what a country lesson is all about. When you hooked up what they call a double plow, in other words, you got a mule on this side and you got a mule on this side. We couldn't afford horses. And you would hook one on one side, one on the other side. Jesus says, I'm going to be on this side. What my grandfather used to do, he'd put the one who was strongest and wisest on one side and then just have the other one to follow to balance it out. Now, remember, it's your life. It's your life. Jesus is not going to make you a spiritual robot. It's your life. But he's saying, you get on the other side. I'm going to pull the weight. And all you got to do is go with me, kid. I'm going to take you places you've never been before. I'm going to show you things you've never seen before. I'm going to do more with you than you've ever done before. And sometimes I'd feel bad for the lead mule because he's pulling all the weight. The lead one, he's sweating and everything. And the one over just kind of walking along and he's cool and calm. And guess what? That's you. Jesus has pulled the weight for you. He has borne the burden for you. He said to you, I've come to set you free. Life is going to be hard. Now, you can pull it on your own. You can try to do it on your own. Or you can get on the other side and go along with me. And I'll lead you through this thing called life. And when you look back, you're going to see fruit, not failure. You're going to see purpose and not chaos. You're going to see God and all of his glory in your life and in my life. And guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to sign the invitation because it does say RSVP. I wonder what RSVP meant, you know, so anyway, reserve something like that. In other words, it's got a date that you got to get back with the folk. You got to let them know, are you coming or are you not coming? Jesus said, respond to my invitation. Find God. Last thing I want to say, Frank Sinatra, I did it my way, okay? Even that song admits regrets. I've had a few, but if you pull back the cover, you've had a lot of them. But then again, he talks about too few to mention. You can live your life, get to the end of it, and say, I did it my way. But guess what happens if you do it his way? You're going to end up where he is. You will be where he is in glory. Take your chances. Do it your way or do it God's way. Last thing, I'm out of time. I promise y'all I'm going to let you go after this, okay? Y'all listen. You keep listening. And I just keep preaching. You were never meant to take your burden beyond the cross. A group called Mercy Me, they use that lyric in several of their songs. You were never intended to take your burden beyond the cross. Why do you keep carrying it? Why do you torture yourself? Why do you go through life and say, I can't get any peace? You were never intended to take your burden beyond the cross. Our old saints used to have a song, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Second thing is, don't hinder God's work with your work. It's okay to put your little pictures on the refrigerator and say, Mommy, Daddy, look at what I did. But when you're using your little pictures as living principles, you can't live by that. You got to live by what's true, what's right. And Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. Come to me, and I'll show you how to live. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for this message. First of all, for what I've received out of it. In the times that I've studied and even in the delivery, I learned some things that I hadn't paid attention to. But I'm paying attention now because I know that this thing is serious. We've neglected you, Lord. And even on Father's Day, we sometimes want to recognize our earthly achievements rather than the one who worked in us and the one who worked through us to accomplish your will and your way. It is God that works in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And we recognize that. Thank you, Heavenly Father. And let every dad, let every father be an extension of what you're doing. Because it is your way. And it's your perfect plan. Change every life that needs to be changed. Change every mind and every attitude that needs to be changed, Lord, would you step in today? Remove the burden and replace it with the responsibility of following Christ. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I didn't mean to give you such a sobering message. You all are kind of sitting out there like, it's to be a good one. But just consider the invitation. I'm going to ask we all stand if there's any that would like to respond to the call of the gospel. Anyone who says, I want to choose the way of Christ, I want to choose this life that he has without burdens, if that's you today, we invite you to come. The doors of the church are open.